Welcome, 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 everyone, to the Fantasy Football Fools podcast. My name's Jesse. We have Eliseo and Brandon here. How you guys doing after week 7?
Not great, but I'm a ghost today, so. Actually, I'm not bad. It's just I just had a bad week is all, but I'm okay. I still have faith. I'm still good.
You had such a bad week. Yeah, you're not willing to turn your camera on, so we can't see you.
I'm so embarrassed. I'm so ashamed. Yeah.
It's getting dicey. It was a crazy week with a lot of injuries. Let's get into them.
Oh, son of a! That's gonna leave a mark.
Deshaun Watson. This I want to hear your takes on this, because I mean, look, Deshaun did some pretty bad stuff. But when he tore his Achilles, the crowd was cheering, which is that's pretty brutal.
I don't think it has anything to do with his past. I think it has to do with he's not good at the game. That's what they cared about. And they like nobody liked him because he was doing terrible and it was a terrible contract. Like, really, the GM is responsible and he should be held accountable for that one. But so it wasn't as much as people should care more about off the field stuff. They really don't. I think he was getting booed because he wasn't a good quarterback. That's all.
Yeah, I agree. I think the off the field stuff is only impactful if you're not also playing well. I mean, look at Kareem Hunt, right? And he had some stuff off the field and all of a sudden he's great and nobody talks about it anymore, right? Because he's performing. So it gives you a good outlet to kind of talk about. But as far as the injury goes, yeah, look nasty. If they kind of showed the replay, you could watch it pop. The Achilles, which is gross. But it was weird that he was still kind of the quarterback anyways. And again, I get it if you're making that much money, but there's a lot of talk about like the owner, like making the coach keep him in there and some of those kind of things. So after all this is said and done, I think it's great for fantasy. We get Jameis Winston now, which is fun and exciting for his players. It's fun for the defense that is going against him. So I'm excited to see Jameis and see if he can ignite anything with the Cleveland Browns, because they were just terrible with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, he needed to get out of there. But that's unfortunate the way that it happened. Jaden Daniels ribs. I haven't heard. There may have been something that came out today, but I hadn't heard anything of if it's week to week or if he's out or what's going on exactly with him.
Yeah, so not much came out. It's a rib, oblique, something. They said potentially a week or two, possibly. There's always a chance he plays this week. It didn't look too serious. He was out on the sidelines and laughing. And usually if you have ribs and things, but breathing and laughing and those kind of things hurt. So I think it looked okay. They got such a big lead against Carolina. There really was no need to force him to play last week. So I think that had a lot to do with it. But I wouldn't be surprised if he plays. Obviously, if he plays, you're playing him. If he doesn't, you have an alternative option. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him play this week. But if he doesn't, it probably looks like a one-week absence.
Who are they playing this week? Do you know? Off the top of your head?
They are playing the Bears. So kind of a fun one because it was the number one pick, Caleb Williams, against number two pick, Jaden Daniels. So
I think
he might make every effort to try to play in that matchup for sure.
David Montgomery, a knee bruise. He came back into the game. He'll be fine going forward. Bruise on the back of his knee, I think. Somebody ran into it. DK Metcalf, grade 1 sprained MCL for the knee. Probably a couple weeks at least, I would assume.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. A couple weeks. This is a terrible, and we'll get into the string of wide receiver injuries coming, but there's quite a few of them that were pretty bad this week. So him being the first one, it looks like a couple weeks, but again, certainly not long term. He should be back soon. But, that means you'll see a little more Tyler Lockett, a little more Jackson Smith and Jigba, but a slight hit for Geno Smith, who I think leads the NFL in passing yards.
Brandon Ayuk. This was a brutal one. Torn ACL, torn MCL, other possible damage. Definitely a season ender, and it's going to be tough even to get back for 2025, I think.
That was a Rashee Rice type injury. It was like almost the exact same thing. So like right away when we saw it, when I saw it, I was like, oh, same thing. Like, it looked exactly the same. It just wasn't his own teammate doing it.
Yeah, the kind of year from hell for the 49ers continues. He had a weird off season, and you know, then he got the contract done right away. So now he's back, or he was back, and then obviously now missing the rest of the season. Debo, who we'll get to in a little bit, he was out. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey hasn't played yet this year. So just a lot of their big time stars not around. And I think they're, what, 3-4 at this point now?
Yeah.
So they're really struggling coming off that Super Bowl loss last year to the Chiefs. Had a chance for a revenge game this week and obviously didn't go according to plan.
You know, this is why you got to get paid because that guaranteed money, you know, you never know what could happen and how long you're going to be out. So Juju Smith-Schuster, hamstring, Coach Reed already said he'll be out for week 8 coming up.
Yeah, we're seeing a ton of hamstring injuries with wide receivers this year. And most of them seem to be 2, 3, 4 weeks for a lot of them getting to come back. Obviously, Nico Collins was a big one early in the year. He's still out with the hamstring. Juju, yeah, coming off of a really good performance the previous week prior to their bye. And so, yeah, it's interesting to see him out this week, out for a few more weeks, because that Kansas City offense continues to struggle even though they keep winning.
Curtis Samuel, shoulder. I guess they're going to get more data and tests on that. Chris Godwin, dislocated ankle, out indefinitely.
Yeah, I think he's done for the year. It looked like people were saying a fracture potentially, so pretty devastating. And that was, again, in a lopsided game. They were getting crushed. I guess they came back a little bit, only got down 10 late when he got injured. Had they not recovered that onside kick, maybe he's not in the game. They're down 17. They'd already lost Mike Evans, who I'm sure we'll get to here shortly, too. So big loss for Tampa Bay, who was one of the more fun offenses in the league with my boy Baker leading the charge. So, yeah, big loss for them. Godwin was coming back off. You know, I think he tore his ACL 2 seasons ago, and he was finally back. I think he was top 2 in the NFL this year in receiving yards. So just a big blow for him. And he was such a hard worker to get back. And he's having a great season. So I really hate to see that for him, especially in a game that was almost out of hand.
And you said it, Mike Evans, hamstring. They're both out for a while. So it's going to be rough with you and your Baker pickup. We'll see how that pans out.
I'm week to week with my quarterbacks. I'm playing a carousel, so we'll see who it is next week. But yeah, Evans, they said probably out for the next 3 games, and they have a bye week 12, so probably not back until week 13, it looks like, for Mike Evans.
So we were talking about your quarterback carousel last week, and you talked about how you were picking up Baker, and just the way everything was going up until, what, the last 7 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait for the podcast because I couldn't wait to be on here and make fun of you for it. But then, you know, all the garbage time.
But then
you
found a way to get to 30, which is crazy.
Like all of a sudden,
Right. No, yeah, because I was down 5 going into Monday night. I had Baker and I had Dobbins going, and I think Stubbs had his kicker. And I was like, oh, this is an easy win. And it got to like halftime and I was still down like 1 or 2. Baker had thrown a couple picks. So if he gets like a sack and the game's getting out of hand, maybe they pull him out. And there's a chance I don't win that game. But yeah. Then they kind of go nuclear, but at the expense of both their receivers. So I don't know how worth it was. But
Debo Samuel left the game early with a sickness, and then he was hospitalized with pneumonia. So we'll see how that pans out.
Well, the good thing about that is that that's not a season-ending injury or anything, you know? So he'll be back in maybe a couple of weeks when he feels better, but that's good news for the 49ers that we just talked about, just having a horrible, horrible time with injuries.
Yeah, but also not only to mention a horrible time, so he played, I think he played 4 snaps. He was coming into the game sick. Oh, they said, oh, he's going to play. He played 4 snaps. He came out, didn't go back in. That's like the second time this year, at least. Obviously, McCaffrey was the other one where the Niners have been like really hesitant with giving out info. And then, yeah, it's like obviously, you know, for strategic advantages and things, I'm sure. But definitely has hurt the fantasy community in terms of guys getting started. You assume something's going to happen, plays 4 plays, and, you know, puts up 0 points. So
Aiden O'Connell, broken thumb, out for a couple of weeks. I think it was 5 weeks or something. He's out for a bit. They picked up Desmond Ridder. So, you know, Raiders
good,
being Raiders.
Good luck, Raiders, yeah.
And then not an injury, but Jameson Williams, 2-game suspension for performing enhancing substances. So put him on your bench for now. That's news and injuries. I think we covered most all of it. There's a lot of big names that got injured this week. So we got to figure out who you're going to pick up. But we're going to go into fantasy top players.
Oh, yeah.
These guys were definitely the best this week. Starting with, we have Lamar Jackson, 42 fantasy points, 281 yards passing, and 5 touchdowns, 52 yards on the ground. That's good stuff. He is showing his true colors this season, huh?
Yeah, he was outstanding. He's probably the quarterback I would want the most the rest of the season. He's just so consistent. They've been dominant. He's still running for yards. He threw for, what, 5 touchdowns last night. So he's the guy I'm most confident in a year where some of the top quarterbacks haven't been great. He'd be the guy that I would trust the most moving forward after another elite performance.
And the other side of the ball, coming in number 2, Baker Mayfield, 30 fantasy points. We talked about it, 370 yards, 3 touchdowns, 22 rushing yards, and why not throw in a 2-point conversion as well?
Yeah, 5 of the 7 games this year, he scored 28 points or more, which is absolutely incredible. Again, we're losing weapons with Godwin and Evans, so I don't expect that to continue, but I don't think he changes the way he plays. He's just going to have less talented guys that he's throwing the ball to, but I think he's still going to chuck it. They're still going to have to score points because they're going to give up a lot on defense. So I think he's still serviceable. He's just not the high-end top 5 quarterback that he has been so far this year.
And a pretty nice schedule moving forward. Not too many really tough games there. And then here, number 3, we got to talk about this guy. He was number 1 until the Monday night game. Russell Wilson, 264 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, got a rushing touchdown as well. What do you guys have to say about that?
What do I want to say? He's not gonna step in and be the quarterback that you saw this week. I just don't. I think this is another, you know, trick play by Russell Wilson. He's like, oh, I need this job. You know, I already lost my last job. I need this job. I got to do good. I don't think he's going to be consistently good like he was. We'll see. I have no faith in him. But what do you guys think?
No, I agree. I think that it was an interesting decision by Coach Tomlin to start him over Fields. Again, I think he's a better passer. That's certainly the case, and he showed that. Kind of brought out the best in George Pickens, who had his best game for the Steelers against the Jets on Sunday. He's fine. He's not a guy I'm going to count on in fantasy moving forward. Interesting decision by Tomlin to start him. He definitely performed, but again, not someone I'm trusting moving forward. And I think more of a testament to the Jets and their poor defense allowing Wilson to do that than anything else on Wilson's ability.
A couple of things on that I want to add. First, I heard that something in Justin Fields' contract or the trade that they made for him, some about him. I think they got a third-round pick, the Bears did, a third-round pick. And if Justin Fields plays more than 51% of the season, like offensive snaps or whatever, mm-hmm. then that would turn into a second round pick. And so some people were saying, oh, maybe they're trying to hold Justin Fields back a little bit because they're winning. So they could try Russell Wilson. If they keep winning, it's not going to be a big deal, but maybe they're holding him back. That way they don't have to give up a bigger trade, you know, on the next draft.
Look, I think this could be the start of something that we're going to see around the NFL in the future is two pretty decent, you know, first team quarterbacks, and you switch them in and out based on the matchup. I mean, look, they just got Devontae Adams They probably figured they're going to have to pass the ball to win because the Jets could, I mean, with all the weapons they have, they could pass the crap out of the ball, right? And so you put Russ in there, who has a better arm than Justin Fields, and maybe that's what he wanted to do. I don't know. Maybe they'll switch it.
Did you said the Jets? I'm so confused.
What? You just talked about Davante Adams.
You said Davante Adams and the
Russell
Jets.
Russell Wilson and that they played against each other. They're not on the same team.
What? No. What I'm saying is that he put in Russ because they figured that they would need. You have Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams and that whole offense that's going to score more because. And so Russ has the arm versus Justin Fields. That's what I'm trying to say.
God, I thought you were saying he like is going to throw the ball to Davante Adams.
I wasn't sure.
Wait a minute.
I thought you were using the Jets as an example of like a two quarterback system, and I'm like, I still don't. I don't know, man.
Pittsburgh is a two quarterback system. Okay. Yeah. So we'll see moving forward. Who knows why he did it? But you have two quarterbacks that you got that are first teamers. So you got to figure out what's going on, right?
And they're 5-2. Something's working.
Yep. All right. Moving on to anybody else want to talk about Josh Allen, number 4, Marcus Mariota, number 5, which is pretty interesting, Washington. But wide receivers of the day. No wide receivers scored 20 points or more. Rashad Bateman was number 1 with 19 points, 121 yards, and a touchdown. He has been pretty good. I did pick him up, I believe, last week. He was on my bench. Wonderful. George Pickens, we talked about him, 18 points, 111 yards, and a touchdown.
That's the other thing I was going to say about Russell Wilson is this Pickens thing. Pickens has been horrible all year. And like Brandon was saying, he brought out like a good version of him. And I definitely took the under in the yards on my prize pick. So that upsets me. That's all. We can continue.
And then Amon-Ra St. Brown, 18 points, 112 yards, and a touchdown. Brian Thomas Jr., 16 points, 89 yards, and a touchdown. DK Metcalf, 15 points, 99 yards, and a touchdown. Most of those guys you expect to be up there. The real outlier is Rashad Bateman, 16% owned right now. Moving on to running backs. The running backs, it was a running back week, let me tell you. Right off the bat, there was like 3 or 4 or 5 running back touchdowns, and I said, okay, this is going to get crazy. Jahmyr Gibbs, 28 fantasy points, 116 yards, 2 touchdowns, 44 yards receiving. Montgomery was out for a little bit, came back in. That helped Gibbs as well. And then Saquon Barkley playing against his old team.
Oh! 25
fantasy points.
Speaking of making an appearance.
Hey,
176
guys.
176-1. Oh, wow. Eliseo is...
Oh, he just noticed.
That's so cool.
I was reading from the notes here. All right. We have video. For those of you listening to the podcast, we have video over on YouTube. Eliseo decided to show his face. Saquon against his old team, 25 points, 176 yards, and a touchdown. Looked good.
Yeah, I heard a cool story today about him because he had, what do you say, 176 he ran for? Yeah, his record is like 187 or something in a game. And his coach asked him, hey, do you want to go break the record? You know, your own personal record. He said, no, let's let everybody else eat. So you want to make sure his other guys got some carries, which is really cool too, especially against his old team. Who didn't want to re-sign him. So obviously there was some bad blood there that he wanted to do. And he obviously performed really well. But I thought that was really cool on Saquon to kind of let his other guys get involved too.
Yeah, I saw the video of him doing that. There was a video and like you could hear
him. Going over to him, yeah.
Yeah, he sat next to him. And he goes, hey, he was like 6 or 7 yards away.
Yeah,
like, he's like, you're like
carries,
Yeah, he's like, I'd love to see you get this, but it's up to you. And he's like, nah, I'm good. He's like, I'd rather let the young guys eat. I was like,
yeah.
And he said, are you serious? Because, like, I have no problem. And he goes, no, let him.
Right.
Like, he didn't care at all. So that was pretty cool, like you said, yeah.
He's like, I proved my point. I'm good. Joe Mixon, another one who showed up, 115 yards, 2 touchdowns, doing great things there. And then Tank Bigsby. These are all on your team, Brandon.
Sure are, because I'm back, baby.
118 yards, two touchdowns, 24 fantasy points.
Calm down with the I'm back. Calm down.
Well, I was like down and out on the very bottom for a while.
Yeah, you were.
Now
yeah.
I'm like 15 points behind you from being in the last playoff spot. So
yeah,
with identical records. So yeah, I'm back.
And I'm going to just kind of rant these off real quick. These are all those were your top four. Derrick Henry is in the top five, 24 fantasy points. But these other guys, this is everybody above 20 fantasy points this week. Rashad White, Javonte Williams, Bijan Robinson, Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall. And then you got Kareem Hunt and Kyren Williams at 19 points. It was a running back week. They got you some serious points there. Moving into tight end, Mark Andrews made an appearance, 16 fantasy points, 41 yards, and two touchdowns. You're happy to see that. That's why you drafted him. Jonnu Smith, 4% owned, had 15 fantasy points. Njoku, 13. Cade Otton, 11. And Zach Ertz with 10 fantasy points. None of those top five are owned in our league. Mark Andrews was dropped.
Should Mark Andrews be owned now, do you think? Is he worth picking back up? The last couple of weeks, two good games.
I think so.
I feel like
I think so.
Because of the, you know, we always make fun of the tight end position or how it's like a wasteland of nothing.
Yeah.
But he's still, if it's a wasteland just across the board, why not? Because he's on a good team with a good offense and, you know, like he had a slow start, that happens. And now, yeah, like you said, he's had a couple of good weeks. So why would you not play him over, I don't know, a rando, you know?
And again, with as bad as he's been, he's now tight end five for the season, right? Two good weeks and you vault yourself back up.
But yeah.
I think we're at the point of, like, with tight ends and how inconsistent they are, you're just chasing touchdowns, right? You're trying to get a touchdown every week.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that scored three touchdowns the last 2 weeks. So why not, right, with that offense?
Exactly. Why not? He should be owned. And what is it? What is he owned right now? He's owned in 90% of leagues. So, yeah, ours, we're just an outlier there. Kicker. We love to talk about kickers, right? Dicker the Kicker, 21 fantasy points. He helped you out this week. Good for him. And your defense of the week was Denver Broncos. They've been pretty dang good this season. 21 fantasy points. They had six sacks, only gave up 10 points, two fumble recoveries, one touchdown, one fourth down stop. They're pretty good. All right, let's talk about some players that are not so good. They're pretty bad.
You blew it!
They sure did. I'm gonna go straight to my team, okay? Because I scored a whopping 71 fantasy points this week, and Kenneth Walker had 20 of them. So there you go. This is just ridiculous. I'm gonna name off. There was three people on my team that scored zero fantasy points. Like this, that's hard to do, right? Especially with these names. Listen to these names. Tyreek Hill. Debo Samuel. Sure, he was out with the sickness, but he shouldn't have even played, right? Could have taken him out. CJ Stroud. I'm going to throw another one in there. Devontae Adams, 3 points. David Montgomery, 4 points. Those are some big, big names given some little points. So, rough week and maybe some adjusting to do, huh? CJ Stroud not looking so great.
He's been down a little bit, yeah, with the loss of Nico Collins. And Joe Mixon has been so good that they're running in a lot of touchdowns. But, yeah, I think Stroud, we were looking to get a step up from last year when he was really good. And he just hasn't quite gotten there yet. I'd be surprised if he doesn't pick it up soon. Maybe the schedule gets a little bit lighter. Maybe they get Nico Collins back. Maybe connect with Tank Dell for once. My God. That's embarrassing. We'll talk more about that later. But there's weapons there, right? They should be better, and yet they're still winning games, and they're still just fine. But yeah, you expect more out of CJ Stroud.
I almost traded Tyreek Hill this past week, and on the trading block, who I was going to get, a portion of it was Brandon Ayuk. So well done for not trading. I pat myself on the back for that one. All right. So what are some other guys that didn't do very well? Anybody you want to throw out there?
I'm looking at some of the box scores.
Alvin
Kamara. What was his line here? I'm just looking him up as we go.
I think he had like 2 points, 3 points.
2 points for Alvin Kamara. So Malik Nabers was back. He had 4 points.
Jordan Mason was also pretty bad. You figured he'd do better with all their other weapons gone, but nope.
I'm going to
talk about one, too. For the whole season, he's been pretty bad, and that's Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
Can you guess how many touchdowns he's thrown? I know
how many interceptions, too.
Yeah. They're 6-0. They're 6-0.
Six touchdowns, right? He's thrown six touchdowns?
Six touchdowns and eight interceptions. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes. Like,
crazy.
What? He's got 19 points and then 14, 13, 12, 11, 9. Like, he's been terrible.
I don't know how they're doing it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, the run game and defense, apparently. But yeah, he's a guy that I wouldn't start.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he'd. Yeah. He wouldn't make it on my quarterback carousel if he was even available as a free agent. I don't want that.
He has not hit 20 points one time this season.
No, not once. So, yeah, why are you going to keep playing him? Inconsistent.
Detroit, I think of like Detroit because their receivers like aren't really doing much either. But you're like, okay, well, their running backs are just getting, you know, are the ones doing all the work. And then I see Kansas City. And yeah, the last couple of weeks, Kareem Hunt has done really well. But before that, that wasn't the case where it's like, oh, well, everything be like, you know, it's like Detroit where they're running everything in so the receivers aren't doing anything. But that's not really the case. So... again, I don't know how they keep winning.
Yeah.
All right. So those are some guys that had tough weeks. Are you going to start them? Are you going to sit them? That's a decision you're going to have to make. I think Tyreek Hill is somebody has been rough, but you know Tua's coming back soon, so
without a guardian cap. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to wear one now.
That should be wearing.
He's like, it's a personal choice. Like, all right, man.
Damn.
Yeah.
Does Tua last the rest of the season?
Yes, unless it's because he's going to slide for sure. He's not going to try to dive headfirst for any first downs. I'm pretty sure. It's like another reminder because when he got hurt 2 years ago, that was the thing is when he came back, he was just sliding and throwing the ball away and all that stuff.
Right.
Well, it's been a while, so he's like, oh, I'm good now. He isn't as careful, gets hurt immediately, and it's like, oh, right, I got to go back to that.
And, like, yeah, this is, like, a weird medical thing to say, but, like, I think that concussion, like, was avoidable, right? If he doesn't initiate the contact, which he did all of last year. He made it through the season. So it's like, yeah, that one was definitely on him, and, yeah, I'd be shocked if you see him, like, leave the pocket, you know?
Especially because he didn't get hit. He ran into...
initiated all the contact.
He hit the other guy in the stomach or the chest or something. Who was it? It was
DeMar Hamlin.
That's right. Yeah, because it was like, so he hit him in the chest. Like Hamlin didn't even try to. He was just kind of in the way.
Right.
That was weird. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the weekly matchups. So we pick these matchups every week. And the old scores were 11-14 for Eliseo, 12-13 for yours truly, and 13-12 for Brandon. We're all kind of right there hanging out. Let's see how this week went. First game was Houston at Green Bay. Green Bay was favored by 2.5 points, and they won by 2 points. They did not cover. Eliseo said they were going to cover. Me and Brandon said, no, me and Brandon get the point. Then we had Detroit at Minnesota. Detroit 31, Minnesota 29. Minnesota was favored by 2.5. They did not win. I said they were going to because I said I'm going to go against you two. which was the wrong thing to do. You both win the point. Next, Seattle at Atlanta. This was the 51.5 highest over-under of the week. And Atlanta was favored by 3. Atlanta had 14 points. 34 points. Me and Brandon picked Seattle. Eliseo did not. Me and Brandon get the point. Jets.
That was a tough one. That was a rough one.
Jets at Pittsburgh. Jets by 1.5 points. Me and Eliseo said Pittsburgh is going to win it. Brandon said, nope, I'm going to go with the Jets. Pittsburgh destroyed them 37-15. Me and Eliseo get the point. Baltimore at Tampa Bay was the final game. Baltimore by 3.5 points, and Baltimore won by 10 points. This is another one where I said I'm going to go against you because you both picked Baltimore, and that was the wrong decision because you both get the point. If you're keeping along at home, that means I'm 3-2 for the week. Eliseo's 3-2 for the week, and Brandon is 4-1. I think that's 2 weeks in a row you're 4-1, right?
Another strong week.
So that means Eliseo.
Unlike the Jets.
Eliseo's in last, 14-16. I'm even at 15-15. And Brandon, 17-13, starting to run away with it there.
But I'm back, and I started out 0-5.
Any given Sunday or Monday or Thursday, depending on when the game is. But let's go through the games we're picking this week. They weren't as juicy as the ones last week, but I picked a couple of them that'll be interesting to pick here. Starting off with this first lovely one, Kansas City at Las Vegas. Kansas City is 6-0, even though Patrick Mahomes can't throw touchdowns. Las Vegas is 2-5. They should probably be 0-7. I don't know. But Kansas City is favored by 10 points here, over and under of 41.5. You want me to start it off? Want to start it off. I do not want to start it off. Look, 10 points is a lot. You got to account for garbage time. You got to account for Max Crosby. You got to account for the Chiefs aren't scoring as much as they normally do. So that 10 points could be and it's a game, you know, it's a division game, which, man, the Raiders always show up for division games. I just don't think they can do it this year. They are down too many people. They only have Crosby. I think I'm going to have to – oh, man. This is a tough one. I want to take the Raiders with the points. That's the right thing to do. But I'm going to take Kansas City. They're going to win by more than 10.
You or me, I'll say. Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay. Remember when the Raiders beat the Ravens in like week two? That feels like a long time ago, right? Now the Raiders haven't done anything good since. Baltimore hasn't done anything bad since. So, this one's weird. Again, I feel like Vegas beat Kansas City last year at least one of the two games.
Yeah,
they do play them tough every time. As you mentioned, Kansas City hasn't been that strong this year, but it's one of those games where I just like can't pick the Raiders. Because you just don't feel good at any point during the game when you have the Raiders, even if it's plus 10. Like, even if they go up 7-0, like, you don't feel good about it. So, give me the Chiefs minus 10.
So, yeah, like you guys were talking about, the Raiders usually perform well against them at least once each season. This is not the season for that. They have a good defense still, yes. They have Crosby, yes. The Chiefs haven't been undefeated, but haven't been scoring a lot, yes. But the Raiders don't have an offense right now. It's like a peewee offense versus like a, you know, Patrick Mahomes is what's going to happen this week. So if anything, Jesse was talking about garbage points. I mean, that's not even a possibility right now with that offense. If anything, they will get enough garbage points to like put them right at like 10 points But even that would be too much. I think this is going to be a... This is going to get out of hand. At first, the defense will be able to stop them. But with the offense going three and out the entire game, Max Crosby can only do so much, you know? So this is going to end up being like 32 to 10 if they're lucky. If not, it's going to be like three or four field goals, 32 to 12 or something. It's going to be embarrassing. It's a sad day for the Raiders. They need to figure it out maybe for next year, but not definitely not this year. So even with the 10 points, Kansas City, man, you can't go with the Raiders.
I'm going to laugh when we all get it wrong because the Raiders cover the 10. I don't think Jacoby Myers is playing in this game either. Because I think he's still hurt, right? And I'm going to do this. I did it once and it didn't work out. I'm going to do it again. Travis Kelce, touchdown, guarantees. Finally going to get his first one against the Raiders this week.
He's going to get benched at halftime, dude. They're not even going to need him.
Because he's going to score a touchdown and help him out. All right, let's move on to the next game. Nobody wants to talk about that one anymore. Philadelphia at Cincinnati. Philly is 4-2. Cincinnati is 3-4. Cincinnati is favored by 2.5 points with an over and under of 47.5. Brandon?
Yeah, I like this game. This is, again, a Cincinnati team that struggled to start the year. They've played much better since after losing the first three. I think they're 0-3 to start. 3-1 since. And this is a big one. I think that, again, they need this game to get to 500. Philadelphia is a quality opponent, but I do like the Bengals at home. Haven't been super impressed with the Eagles this year. I know they beat the Giants last week. That's one of the bottom five teams in the league. So give me the Bengals making a statement in this game with a big win against the Eagles. I'll take Cincy -2.5.
I was hoping you'd go the other way because I'm definitely going with Cincy on this also. The Eagles have not been impressive this year, like you said. And then they beat the Giants. Oh, wow. That's like beating the Raiders. Like, who cares? Same thing. Cincy at home. Yeah, that's the right call. Jesse, take it away with the Eagles.
Oh, man. This is what happened last week, and I picked them wrong. But it's always fun to go against you guys. I think Philly has what it takes to get it done. Hopefully, if they do lose, it's by less than 2.5. Let's go with Philly. Saquon, do your thing. Atlanta at Tampa Bay. Atlanta is 4-3. Tampa Bay is also 4-3. Tampa Bay just got a bunch of injuries, though. I haven't looked. Let me just see if this got updated real quick here, because if it is, we'll do the new line.
Atlanta's favored now, yeah.
They are? So what's let me change it.
Yeah, I'm seeing them at -2.5. So just okay. Give it the other way.
So we'll go the other way. Atlanta by 2.5. 47.5 over under. Eliseo, you started off.
Yeah, these two already played each other a couple weeks ago, and Atlanta won. And that was with both teams at 100%. So now you have the same matchup with some of the starters missing for Tampa Bay. I don't think they can keep up, so give me Atlanta.
Oh, to me? All right. Oh, man. Is Baker going to cook or not? The problem is both receivers are down and they're done. I think I have to go with Atlanta in this one. I think it's not even going to be close to the 2.5.
Yeah, I hate to agree with you guys, but yeah, this is the second time they played this year. This is the game where Kirk Cousins threw for 500 yards on Thursday night. We saw Lamar throw all over them last night or two nights ago. So I think they continue to do that. Atlanta wins this one. I'll take Atlanta by 2.5 also.
All right, our second game where we're all together. Fourth game of the week, Buffalo at Seattle. Buffalo is 5-2. Seattle is 4-3. Buffalo is favored by 3 points, over and under of 47.5. Back to me, huh? Just checking. Buffalo is still favored by 3. Good. Buffalo is a good team. They have that new acquisition there, Amari Cooper. He'll be implemented more, I think, this week. DK Metcalf is out. That's going to be a big deal for them. Tyler Lockett could have a decent game. Oh man, I don't know. I want to pick. You know what? I'm gonna pick Seattle. I think Seattle will give them a run for their money, and it'll be a closer game than people think.
I like that. Everything you said made me think you're gonna go Buffalo, and I was happy to go Seattle. I'm gonna take Seattle also plus the 3 points. Which assures LSA will take Buffalo 1,000%. But again, I like Seattle at home. I think Ken Walker's going to be able to run the ball on Buffalo. Again, lost DK Metcalf, but I think their offense is still good enough to stay in that game. And they have a really good home field advantage. So I like Seattle there, plus the 3 at home.
Yeah, I definitely underestimated Seattle. I have been all year, and I definitely did this past week. That's why I was like, oh, man, that was such a tough one because – I didn't think they were as good as they are proving to be. However, Buffalo just added a good receiver, and that's going to make a difference. It already did this past week. So, yeah, you're right. I'm going to take Buffalo because although they're both kind of like they pair up well, I guess. Like they're, again, giving Seattle more props than I did before. But I still think Buffalo is the better team. Buffalo has 3 running backs now at this point and a couple of good receivers now. So I think they're a little bit more of a complete team than Seattle. So give me Buffalo. This is all where right. I start catching up.
And last game of the week, the Dallas Cowboys at the San Francisco 49ers. Dallas 3-3. San Francisco 3-4. San Francisco's favored by 4.5 points. Are they still favored? By 4.5. Let me check that. They are. Over and under of 46.5. Brandon, to you, right?
Yeah, I'll kick this one off. I always do really well the first 4. Then I get to the Sunday night game and I always pick the wrong team, like last week with the Jets. But this week I'm going with the team they're injured, but not as injured, I think, as San Francisco. They're coming off a bye. Maybe they fixed something. 4.5 just feels like too much against a team that's so hurt like San Francisco. So give me Dallas plus the 4.5. I think they got some things fixed during the bye week.
Yeah, this is a tough call for me because I don't want to pick Dallas. I really don't. But, yeah, you're right. San Francisco's just so beat up, you know? But then again, Dak is going to throw away a couple of interceptions. And this is going to be a risk, but I need to catch up. So give me San Francisco.
All right. I was ready to pick San Francisco. I thought you were going to pick Dallas. I'm also going to go with Dallas. Look, I think that San Francisco is going to bring it. And you're right. I think that their defense is going to help out as well. But I think Dallas is still going to win by or lose by less than 4.5. All right, there you have it. The picks for this new week. And I guess, you know, let's just get into it. The last one. It seems so... That was a short one. I don't know. You get the balls to the wall. That's because I was going to put a little game show in the middle of it, but we didn't do that this episode. Stay tuned next episode. We're going to have some. I want to do a redraft also one of these points. But balls to the wall.
Do you want us to? A couple questions. Do you want us to, like, leading up to it when we know it's coming? Do you want me and Brandon to just be like, "All right, what time is it? Do you know?" Just cross so you can look for that fucking button. And then you can look at us like, "All right, I'm ready." And then we could be like, "It's time," and then you can say "Balls to the wall" and hit the button. Like, we can work it out, man. So it's not so like this is what you look like. You're like. And then we're just sitting here in silence, like, okay, well, here it comes.
Yeah, maybe.
Half the times I do it just on purpose because it's fun.
Halfway through the season and we're still doing this. Also, another thing that I was Broncos thinking country, about.
Let's ride.
Another thing about Balls to the Wall is Well, if we started, I mean, we know what we're doing and we know why we take these, you know, these random picks that are probably not going to hit, but then we do it anyways. We know it, but I don't think we've explained at all to the new listeners, all two of them, that why we pick the way we pick. Cause it's like, oh yeah, of course we can pick a guy who's going to go off like for sure. But we like to dig a little deeper. I don't think we explained that.
So basically balls to the wall is, somebody who we think is not someone who everybody else on this earth says, oh, this person's going to do great this week, or they're in your top 20. We're going to try to pick someone who, a lot of people don't believe in, they don't think it's going to happen. We try to find those gems in there. And a lot of the times they're not gems, they're coal, but it's okay. Cause occasionally we do hit, this week there's some coal. We're going to talk about it right now. all right. So I'm going to start with Brandon. Let's go from the down to up or up to down. I don't know. I'll start with mine. All right, we'll do it that way. I had Jerry Jeudy. Okay, so you'd think Jerry Jeudy could be okay, right? But I said he's going to do.
Now with Sean Watson. <man. laughs>
I said 115 yards and 2 touchdowns. A lot of people don't believe in him, and that was the right thing to do because he had 1 catch for 18 yards.
Which sounds bad now, but wait till you hear these next two.
Yeah. He was the winner of Balls of the Wall this week. Because LSAO's guy, Ty Chandler, he said was going to do 80 yards and 2 touchdowns, but he had 2 carries for 4 rushing yards. I just noticed the typo, 4 rush tards.
That feels more appropriate.
Aaron Jones. Yeah. I thought Aaron Jones was going to be a little more limited, is what I thought. But I was wrong. So, you know, at least I didn't actually believe in him like Jeudy. You know, I didn't say, oh, this guy's going to, he's really good. Like, you should believe. I was just saying, like, this other guy's hurt, so this guy's going to do well. That's my excuse.
And then Brandon had the biggest name on here. Tank Dell is going to go 8 catches, 155 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And I just put a whole string of zeros because he had absolutely nothing.
Unbelievable. He did drop a ball in the end zone that should have been a touchdown in like the very first drive. But yeah, that was absolutely embarrassing. 0 catches, 0 yards, 0 touchdowns. I mean, CJ Stroud only threw for 86 yards, which is crazy, but nothing to Tank Dell. Unbelievable. And the sad thing is I actually put him in my lineup, too, and he still got 0, which is doubly as bad.
All right, let's make up for it right now. I have a feeling someone's going to pick the same guy as me, so I'm going to let you guys go first. LSAO, who do you have for balls to the wall?
All right, let me pull it up real quick.
I wish now
you need us to stall now. Okay.
I need the music here. I need
Do you want me to go?
No. I got him. Okay. And I think maybe he might be a target for, like you said, I think people might already have him in mind because of how this week went. So easy choice this week. Balls to the wall. A guy that I don't think many people are starting. I think he's only 39% rostered because hitting the wasteland again. You know how I love going to the wasteland.
You picked the same guy as me. I knew it.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be. There's nothing else there. So, Cade Otton. Cade Otton's going to...
No. Okay.
No? Okay.
My guy's also 39% owned. Okay.
Towards the end.
I almost picked him.
Yeah? I mean, he got some action towards the end of the game, like during the garbage time. He was getting a lot of passes and stuff. And Mike Evans was already out. So he was being targeted a little bit more. And then now, without any receiver available, really, he's going to be the number one target. And, you know, Baker's still going to sling it. He's not going to care if he gets hurt, too. He's going to just keep slinging it over to him. So also, who are they playing? They're playing somebody.
Washington.
They're playing Washington. No, they're not.
No. Chicago.
No, Atlanta.
Sorry.
They're playing Atlanta.
Atlanta. Yeah.
Atlanta. Yeah. And, it's going to be It's going to be good for him, is what I think.
How
he's
good?
Yeah, let's define that.
Being the number one receiver now overnight on that team, I think he's going to do 100 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Ooh.
All right.
Spicy.
102.
So
I'm going to go next because I'm kind of piggybacking off of this. So I almost took Kate Otten, but instead I took a different receiver on the same team. So I'm going to take a guy who's 4% owned right now. I think that'll go up overnight. Give me the rookie Jalen McMillan, who's probably now, the number one wide receiver. Otten, obviously the number one tight end, maybe the number one target. But again, Baker's going to keep throwing. Atlanta's probably going to score a lot of points. So the target's got to go somewhere. So I like McMillan. They also have Sterling Shepard, who I kind of thought about. He's a little,
darker. That's what I thought about, too.
Yeah, he's a little deeper, too. Him. But I'm going to take the rookie McMillan. They spent a third-round pick on him. He's been talented. He ran the most routes last night for them. So give me Jalen McMillan, 7 catches, 115 yards, and 1 touchdown.
I thought about him. I thought about him as well. I'm going with a whole different team. Same issue. 49ers have to throw to someone. They're playing – who are they playing? They're playing
Dallas.
Dallas, exactly. Yes, we just talked about it. So Ricky Pearsall made his debut, and I know he's got some – he still has some room to grow. But this week he's going to get you 88 yards and 1 touchdown over there because who else are they going to throw to? George Kittle, that's who else.
And that dude was shot like 2 months ago, and he's back playing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Did you hear the
bullet
cheer for
went
him?
Through him? Yeah. This is insane. Yeah. I love it.
So it's a good story, and it's going to be a good performance. So this week, I think we're going to do much better, but you're just going to have to wait till next week and tune in and find out how we did. That's it, guys. Through week 7. It's getting, I mean, look at our league. Our league is so tight. We have it, for those of you who don't know, we have an 8 team league, and it is the best of the best out there. And if you have one bad week, it can destroy you. One good week can catapult you. So yeah.
And what have we learned in our league? The best team never wins. So sorry, Chris, you are not going to win this year.
Yeah.
You're doing too good right now.
Not going to happen.
He
needs
to throw
some
games, and then he'll
be
all right.
That's right.
All right, that's all we got for you. The Fantasy Football Fools, anywhere you listen to podcasts, on YouTube, Fantasy Fools Pod on Twitter. Tweet us over there, X, Twitter, whatever the hell it's called. Until next time, don't be a fool.
Look at him, ready to go.
Dodgers in 6.
Rip Fernando. Rip Fernando.